It's time now for Minds Over Matter, the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Today, moderator Dana Rodriguez is joined by two panelists, educator Lori Fisher and technical editor Kira Pace. And now here's your host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Joanne. Welcome, everybody, to Minds Over Matter. Hope you are having a lovely morning, not too overcome by the heat yet. And we do hope you can spend the next hour with us because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, that's what we are looking for. We'd love to hear from you and we love your participation. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, yes, we have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. I also would remind you that if you'd like to contact us by email, you are welcome to do that. That email address is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That's the numeral one. mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. Of course, we'd rather you call because we enjoy talking to you so much. But if you want to use email, that is fine too. You can listen to us in live stream at kalw.org. And of course, Joanne will also be putting up the podcast later on today. That will be at kalw.org and many, many other places, but start with KALW, if you would please. Just remind you once more, the number 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. This is a good time to call, by the way. So please get on your phones and do that. If you have a question you'd like to ask us, or if you want to wait a minute or two, you'll hear our questions. I do want to say a very sincere thank you to all those who contributed last week and became members of KLW. That was great, and I think we did pretty well. Joanne said we did pretty well. I always take her at her word. So we thank you very sincerely for that. And we can chug along for a little while longer now.
Huh? Yeah.
Yep. The little quiz show did good. And anyway, so thank you very much. We appreciate your support of the station and Minds Over Matter and all the nice things you said. And it means a lot. It really does. Okay, so we're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. Here's the first. Kira Pace spent her weekends last month attending shows by 90s legacy acts, which really worked out for her because prior to that, she was running out of shirts.
It is a fact that I get most of my clothes from merch booths. Like that's not even a lie. Lori Fisher is declaring that we are having a heat wave, a tropical heat wave, in October in San Francisco. Quite a hardly strictly Minds Over Matter moment.
It is. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, rake in hand, was truly hoping that the temperature would drop before the leaves did. Let's keep hoping.
I'm going to be wearing my Butthole Surfer t-shirt today when I'm when I'm out there.
It's lovely.
Those leaves, man.
Yeah.
all right. So we're going to questioning with Kira Pace.
Also, I guess maybe Pulp isn't a legacy act since they performed new material at their show. So maybe new album. So I'm
right,
excited about that. Okay. I'm between two list questions. Let's do this one. There are five, this one has a leading question for you. First of all, there are five films in the flagship Air Bud series, and each film features Air Bud playing a different sport. What are the five sports featured in the Air Bud movies? And I want the canonical flagship Air Bud series, not Air Buddies, where it's the puppy or anything like that. None of the spinoffs. I want the five canonical Air Bud movies, what five sports is he playing? One per film.
Well, I mean, it can't get easier than basketball. So, yeah, basketball.
Okay, that's right. In the original Air Bud, he plays basketball. That's true.
That was the only one I sort of knew. So I'll go with, I think that Air Bud might have played volleyball.
In the last one, Air Bud spikes back. He plays volleyball. Ooh. That's true. So looking for the other three.
That was my guess.
All right. In the meantime, I will give you this list question. I'm going to give you the title of a movie, and you tell me the sport that is heavily featured in it. And this is not a sports question because it's movie, so it's okay.
Correct.
The first one is Whip It. Whip It. Number two is Over the Top. Number three is Breaking Away. Number four is Slap Shot. Two words.
Slap, S-L-A-P. Okay.
Shot. Number five is Bloodsport. Number six is Chariots of Fire. Number seven is Summer Rental. Number eight is Happy Gilmore. So number nine is Invictus. And number 10, Gleaming the Cube. So Gleaming, G-L-E-A-M-I-N-G, the Cube. So Whip It, Over the Top, Breaking Away, Slapshot, Bloodsport, Chariots of Fire, Summer Rental, Happy Gilmore, Invictus, and Gleaming the Cube. And I lied, there's one more, Better Off Dead, because why not? Okay, so.
I'll take
two. Breaking Away is a bicycle riding in Indiana, or bicycle racing, right?
It is road cycling, so I will give that to you.
Okay. And if I heard it right, Slapshot must be hockey, ice hockey.
Ice hockey. I would not give it to you for just hockey, but yes, no. Ice hockey.
Not air hockey. Okay. No. All right. I know a couple more. And go ahead, Dana.
Would you just repeat the list once more, if you would?
Sure. Whip It, Over the Top, Bloodsport, Chariots of Fire, Summer Rental, Happy Gilmore, Invictus, Gleaming the Cube, and Better Off Dead.
Is Over the Top about arm wrestling?
It is about arm wrestling.
Features. Is that Sylvester Stallone?
It is, yeah. And he's against a guy named Smasher, and he there's a Kenny Loggins song, Meet Me Halfway.
He's doing it for his child. He's getting an arm wrestling too for his little boy.
I believe that is indeed the top line of the plot. He's arm wrestling.
And Invictus is about the South African soccer team, or is it rugby team? Soccer, I think, isn't it?
It is not soccer.
But it's the right country, right?
It's football or football, soccer. Oh, I thought that was it. Okay.
It is South Africa. So yeah.
Matt Damon was in it. Okay.
I'll give it to you since you dismissed it, but it was rugby.
It was rugby.
Oh, rugby. I'm sorry.
Okay. I have a question. Is Whip It one word or two?
Two words.
Okay.
Two words.
And I had one question about the Air Bud. I'm not familiar with any of the other ones other than the original one, but wasn't there one to do with snow?
It was not one of the original five. It might have been one of the spin-off, because then they had puppies playing stuff, and I think they were called Air Buddies, and there were like a ton of those that were straight to video.
Right.
It is my understanding that is based on some quick internet research. I don't actually know the Air Buddies films.
All right, then I'll make one more guess about that. And how about baseball?
All right. In the fourth Air Bud movie, Seventh Inning Fetch, Air Bud does indeed play baseball.
All right.
Joanna has a guess of Chariots of Fire being horse racing, but I'm pretty sure that's not right. It's track, Olympic track.
Yeah. Okay, Olympic running, yes, that is correct.
Okay.
All right, then. And so just go over that question once more, Kira, and what you have left over.
All right. So there are five films in the flagship Air Bud series, and each film features Air Bud playing a different sport. What are the five sports featured in the Air Bud movies? And so far we have the first, fourth, and fifth movies, which were basketball, baseball, and volleyball, looking for the other two. Also, I've given you the titles of some movies, and I want you to tell me the sport that is heavily featured in it. The ones we have left are Whip It, Bloodsport, Summer Rental, Happy Gilmore, Gleaming the Cube, and Better Off Dead.
Okay, and Lori.
All right. Last week was National Banned Book Week, and I have a question about that that I didn't get to ask. I have four examples from things that have been banned, and I want to know your answers to these. Where the Wild Things Are by Marie Sendak was banned in 1963. And by banned, I mean somebody attempted to ban it for a certain punishment of Max, the main character. How was Max being published? That was protested. Hansel and Gretel in 1992, there was a protest because of its depiction of what group, giving it a bad name. So what group was that? Where's Waldo? Something was tiny in one of the pictures. Okay, and what was being depicted that upset a group of parents and tried to get it banned? And then Shop Girl, the Steve Martin novel, as far as I know, is only one, okay, which had some sexual content, was attempted to be banned. And why was Steve Martin pleased by the attempted ban? So I'm looking for parent punishment in Where the Wild Things Are. Hansel and Gretel gave what a bad name? Where's Waldo depicted something that was objectionable, at least to someone. And Steve Martin was apparently pleased at the attempted ban of Shop Girl. Since there's only four, I'll give you one each.
Well, Kira seems to know some of these.
I think she knows all of them.
So Steve Martin, Steve Martin has written a few novels, or at least he's written more than one. And they're excellent. So if you have not read his novels, you should. That's the only one I don't know, I think.
I don't know his other ones. I knew his play, but I don't know. But
which one? Go ahead. Picasso at the Latin.
Yeah, that's a play. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
You know what?
Go ahead.
I think the first one, because I'm not sure about it, so I'm going to do that one. Where the Wild Things Are, mm-hmm. He is punished by, he's sent to bed without his dinner, so starvation.
Correct.
Right?
Yes, starvation. It was too severe. Give her a bell on that. Excellent work. Okay, Dana?
Well, this is just a dead guess, but I'm curious about the Hansel and Gretel. Is that the organization of witches that didn't like the representation of the evil witch?
Two self-proclaimed witches actually thought it gave witches a bad name, and the community thought that it should not be published. So that's exactly
Everybody has a union now, I tell you.
Yeah, they do. Anyway, very good. So we'll leave the other two out. Where's Waldo depicted something in a bit time that said it was the size of a pin. But anyway, it was in there. And Steve Martin apparently was pleased, perhaps humorously, by the attempted banning of Shop Girl, which is a very good novel, too. Very good.
Okay, and you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying our show. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, this is Fred in West Virginia.
Hi, Fred.
Hey, Fred. This is too easy, but Happy Gilmore, golf, Adam Sandler.
That is correct.
Golf. Play the form of golf. And I have a suggestion for whoever wrote your theme. I suggest decaf.
Right?
That thing is a great. You don't need coffee if you listen to that theme. It wakes you right up. So I have some people, I don't mean to be too catty here, but this is artists who had romantic relationships with these people. It's one person. James Taylor, Graham Nash, Leonard Cohen, Sam Shepard, Jackson Brown, Warren Beatty, and David Crosby.
Well, it's Joni Mitchell. I know all of them. I didn't know Warren Beatty, but I know all the others. So is it
well,
Joni
that's
Mitchell?
Why it's a little catty. I did see the special Amazon Prime called Joni Mitchell Blue Lady, which is quite good. And what song did she sing at Woodstock?
practicing the circle game?
No.
Huh. How about both sides now?
No.
Well, she didn't sing Woodstock. I know that because
she didn't write it yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, Kara or Dana?
No.
Wait. So did she? I'm sorry. What was the question? What song did she sing at Woodstock?
What song did Joni Mitchell sing at Woodstock?
Okay. Joanne says she did not sing at Woodstock. Yeah, so is this a trick question?
The correct answer.
She appeared on the Dick Cavett show, right? She did
that
something
like that. That was my next question. What did she do instead of being a Woodstock? And who advised her that? Her agent. Who was her agent at the time?
Oh, no.
Oh, was it
very rich.
David Geffen?
David Geffen, exactly. Who's been a minor success in show business. What is his net worth, approximately?
Oh, he's a billionaire.
How many billions?
Oh, I wouldn't know.
20.
Huh?
20.
Nine billion, which makes him twice as wealthy as Spielberg. Okay, and when is Joni Mitchell appearing next in California in a show? You can all get tickets.
Nope.
Coming to the Greek Theater? I don't know.
At the Hollywood Bowl in 2 weeks.
Ah.
Sent my son some tickets. I think he should. He should watch Joni Mitchell. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Fred.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Our panel today, that would be Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher, teaches at Dabo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. All right. Well, I received a very nice email last week from a woman named Connie, who listens to us from Florida. Connie lives in Florida, and in a relation to Kira, she originally was in Michigan. So there you go.
Whoa. Yeah, she's a caller. She's a frequent caller.
Yeah.
She knows
email or two. So anyway, Connie did not get a chance actually to listen to the show last week. She had to listen to the podcast instead. She was listening to the show live. And she was sorry because there was a question about Kmart on there. And she had a love-hate relationship with Kmart as a young woman. So I had came up with a couple of Kmart questions to ask this week. And perhaps Kira knows these two because she's has that whole allegiance between Michigan and Florida.
It's a dedicated to Connie.
Yes.
Yeah, no, the Kresge's and I, like that.
That's you on the bottom right there. Huh? And so here's the first one. When Kmart, or Kresge, however you would like to say it, stores first started, what was the maximum price for merchandise? Mm-hmm. What was the maximum price for merchandise when the Kresge stores first started?
What year was that?
I'm not going to say.
Okay.
And the second question is, and this is, I'm sure this is very easy, but then I never shopped at Kmart. When Kmart introduced its blue light special in 1965, how long were the specials good for? How long were the specials good for when Kmart introduced its blue light specials? So I'm going to hold off. I know you probably know both these things.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
No. Sorry.
So okay. Kira, what year do you think Kmart started?
Oh, golly. I would guess like mid-century, but I don't actually know.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they were called Kresge stores when they first started, so just so you know. And so first question, when Kmart, then known as Kresge, stores first started, what was the maximum price, the absolute maximum price for merchandise? Couldn't go any higher.
I'm going to start the bidding at $5.
No. And second question, when Kmart, and we're now up to when it's called Kmart now, when Kmart introduced the blue light special in 1965, how long were the specials good for? So, you know, they would make that announcement in the store.
My understanding is that they would make the announcement, and they actually had a blue light. And I think I'll just guess like 15 minutes.
15 minutes is correct.
Is that right?
They were good for 15 minutes.
Wow.
I've never seen that. I don't even know how long they did that, but my mom tells tales of the blue light specials.
Yeah.
All right. So those are the questions just for Connie. And so let me get to a couple of things here. So of all the major U.S. cities, over 250,000 in population in the United States, of all the major U.S. cities, over 250,000, what two have the fewest number of residents who were actually born there?
Oh.
So of all the major cities in the U.S., over 250,000, what two, and this is as of 2023, what two have the fewest number of residents who were actually born there?
And is this a percentage, a per capita deal, or a total?
It's percentage. Yeah, percentage. I'll give you each a guess.
Ooh, this is tough.
I feel like he wouldn't ask if San Francisco was one of them, so no. Which is not. So yeah, worry. I don't know. I never run into.
It seems like it, because there are people are always surprised when you say you're actually from.
From San Francisco, yeah.
So people move there.
You know what? I know a lot of people have been moving to Denver. I will guess Denver.
Not Denver.
Okay.
But we're talking about major cities, just so you know.
Yeah.
Denver not a major city?
It is. Okay. But I'm saying you're in the ballpark as far as major cities. That's what I'm saying.
I'm trying to think of cities. I'll say... How about Phoenix?
So many Phoenix people. Is a pretty good guess. Yeah. But no, not Phoenix.
Because so many people have moved there. And in Florida, don't people move to Florida when they're old?
Yeah. They're
disrupt the percentage?
Well, when they're old, those are different kind of communities. You know, it's not.
Right. But it means a lower percentage was born there if people keep moving in. Mm-hmm. And young people aren't moving there. So that seems Florida-ish or something. I don't know.
All right. So I'll ask you once more. Just of all the major cities in the United States, over 250,000, what two have the fewest number of residents who were actually born there?
Yeah.
So they're major cities, just so that you know. All right. Now, who are the only people, this is the other question, who are the only people and they're not religious. They're not in any religious order, is what I'm saying. Who are the only people who can wear white in an audience with the Pope? Who are the only people who can wear white in an audience with the Pope?
And by definition, they're not religious, right?
They are not religious in the sense that they are not priests or nuns. Yeah,
not doctors.
Not doctors. Well, that's interesting. That's an interesting question. Yeah. If the Pope goes to a doctor, can the doctor wear a white coat?
I wasn't aware that I was not allowed to wear white in front of the Pope. So it's news to me.
Well,
it's good that we never had a run in.
Maybe the answer is Kira. A group of Kira.
So, yes. Who are the only people?
I would have been so rude with my white.
Who are the only people who can formally wear white in an audience with the Pope?
Are these people that in regular life we also see dressed in white, like doctors?
No, it's not a formal thing where they wear white all the time. But it's just that people wear a black or a very dark colors in audiences. Oh.
Here's a wild guess. How about children dressed for their baptism?
Ooh.
No.
Oh, but he said no religion, and that would be religious.
It's not a religious...
order. So I was thinking not like nuns, but you know, a baby in a anyway, it's not children.
No.
Or the quiet okay. All right.
So okay, once more. Of all the major US cities, over 250,000, what two have the fewest number of residents who are actually born there? And who are the only people, and it's a non-religious order, who can wear white in an audience with the Pope? Yeah. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, good morning. I'm going to be very brief. So first of all, I always call during a blood week and ask all my friends who listen to me to please be very generous with KLAW. Psychic BFA is the only two stations that we listen to a lot. So please do. If you haven't donated yet, do donate. Okay, so my question now, I'll be very brief as well. What are the seven wonders of the ancient world?
The Colossus at Rhodes.
Beautiful.
The pyramids.
Beautiful. The statue of Zeus at Olympus.
Beautiful.
The Hanging Gardens of Babylon. Yeah.
Beautiful.
And which library? There's a library.
Yes. The yeah. library at Alexandria.
Yeah.
The mausoleum. Right. And hold on. What are we missing? We said pyramid. Did we say pyramid already?
Yeah, okay. We did.
This is a pyramid.
How many are we missing? Well,
pyramid, mausoleum.
Actually, yeah, there wasn't. Yeah, it was the Lighthouse.
Lighthouse, right. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, only one of these survived up to now. Which one?
The pyramids are still there.
Okay.
Last
4,600 years old. So the pyramid was the tallest building on Earth until this fixture was built in 1886. Which one?
The Washington Monument?
Yeah. No.
Oh, sorry. Not the Washington Monument?
France.
Oh, no, okay. But the Washington Monument was as tall, and then that was replaced by
the Eiffel Tower. Yeah.
Eiffel Tower. Okay, very, very cool question. All right, the Statue of Liberty is modeled after, built in France. Was it built in the form of a French woman or American woman, or neither?
I believe the models, I think Bartholdi's model was French. I think, she wasn't.
Bartholdi was French.
Was she French? Okay.
No. She was neither.
She was American, huh?
She wasn't American. She was Greek. Was she Greek?
Be very close. She was an Egyptian.
Egyptian.
Sorry. Come on, Suez Canal, Bobbin Suez Canal in 1868. But the idiot king of Egypt refused it. Even mostly was a gift. We don't know. Until now, everybody is wondering why did he do that. The Statue of Liberty was to open the beginning of Suez Canal, which was a big deed, you know, in 1868. It connected the whole world together through the small little Suez Canal. Well, always great show. And again, to my friends, please, if you have not donated yet, donate again, because this is, again, the only one of two stations that most of us listen to. KQDFM is a very good station as well. But do donate. It is definitely a very, very good cause. Thank you, everybody. Have a good day.
Thank you, Ed. Bye-bye. Where were you last week, Ed? And, all right. Let's see. Kira, you go ahead, please.
All right. That they were also referred to by the Spanish name Costanoans. What is the preferred name for the Native American people who inhabited the area from San Francisco to the lower Salinas Valley?
You mean the tribe, the formal tribe?
Yeah. What is their preferred name of the people that were here?
From San Francisco to the lower Salinas Valley? Yeah. Is that what you said? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That name cost to know before.
Yeah. Ohlone?
Yeah. That is correct. Ohlone. There you go. Nice job. Do you want another one?
All right.
All right. What alternate name for a hangman's knot refers to a real life executioner who also made appearances in David Copperfield, The Pickwick Papers, and Punch and Judy?
You mean that's the name of the character?
Yeah. So again, the alternate name for a hangman's knot refers to the real life executioner who also made appearances in David Copperfield, The Pickwick Papers, and Punch and Judy.
Lori?
I don't know. I don't think I know. How about you? You have
No, I do not.
Yeah. Good one.
Okay.
Audience on it.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi there, it's Danny and Sandra in Albany.
Hi, Danny. Hey. Hi, Sandra.
Hi there. All righty. Well, we got a couple of...
Good morning. Yeah. We think the hangman is Noose. Okay, not really.
Afraid not. Afraid not.
Jeffrey Noose.
No, the answer is afraid not. No, that's not...
Yeah. All right. All right. Sorry. Settle down.
Keep humor for the morning. Was Kmart renamed after the Second World War because Kretzky was a Jewish name?
Or a German, sounded German?
It did not specifically say that in what I read about it, but it's, of course, it's conceivable. Yeah.
Okay.
Well. You know, because we control hurricanes, so, you know, why not Kmart?
Yeah, right, why not? Okay, so the fewest residents born, we each have an idea, in the cities. How about Las Vegas?
Las Vegas is one.
Oh, yeah. Smart.
Hey, okay.
And my first thought was Honolulu.
Not Honolulu.
Oh, well, one out of two ain't bad. All right, so
going
you've got,
back.
Happy Gilmore and Gleaming the Cube, I think.
Okay, Happy Gilmore, I think, is golf, even though I've never seen it.
That is correct.
And is Gleaming the Cube, again, never seen it, but is it skateboarding?
It sure is. Gleaming the Cube is skateboarding.
And nice I thought Invictus had something to do with rugby as well. Is that rugby? You got that one, okay. All right. Well, that's it for our answers. Hey.
I'm going to try a question.
All right.
Yes. Let's do the happy dance.
We're ready.
Okay, so this might be really easy, but maybe not. I have three addresses that feature in films. Like, you know, they're plot elements in a certain way. I'm going to give you the addresses and the decades of the movies if you want. And there's only three of them, and you tell me if you know what movies they are.
Sure.
Okay.
Ready for it.
Okay. So the first is 1011 Fifth Avenue.
You say Fifth Avenue?
Fifth, in New York City, which is a kind of a giveaway. And it's a film from the 30s. There's a film from the 50s, which is, I think, the easiest one, which is Via Marguta 51. V-I-A, Marguta 51. And the third one is 51 West 67th Street. 51 West 67th Street.
New York City.
In New York, right?
Yep.
And which decade is that one, the last one?
The last one is the 60s. The first one is the 30s, and Via Marguta 51 is the 50s.
Is the last one The Apartment?
Indeed it is. Very good.
Yay.
Clever. That's good.
And, it's not just, they don't just say it casually, they say it a number of times.
And do the titles of other ones refer to a place, like The Apartment?
The titles do not.
So do the main characters, or does much of the action take place at these addresses? Is that the idea?
Yes, indeed. And in each of these other two films, a main character definitely says the address.
And lives there.
So how long ago was Roman Holiday? Is that as far back as 51?
Well, no, it's 50s, 1958.
Oh, 50s.
And that would actually be Via Marguta 51.
That's the answer.
Congratulations.
Ding, ding.
Oh, sweet.
That's it. Nice.
Okay, so we're still...
So Kira gets a bell. So it's still... And this one is kind of the trickier one, but it is, it's a film in the Library of Congress, 1011 Fifth Avenue.
It's somebody's residence, right?
And it's from the 30s.
It is. This is the film from 1936.
Give them the Oscar thing.
Okay. And this film also has the distinction in a kind of Oscar trivia sort of way that, A, it is all four acting categories the actors were nominated.
That's where the Bullock family lived in My Man Godfrey.
That is correct. I knew that you would get that one.
Nice. All four actors were nominated from that. That's good.
They were all nominated. Nobody won. Actors were nominated.
William Powell, Carol Lombard.
And the screenplay was nominated. It was the first time that all of those six categories were nominated without a nomination for Best Picture.
Hmm.
So, Sandra, was that your first question? of all the times that you guys have called, is that the first time you've asked a question?
Yes.
That's a good question.
Good question. Yeah. You're in charge of questions now.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I have another one that I'm working on, so stay tuned.
All right.
I'm excited.
We'll be here.
Thank you, Danny. Thank you, Sandra.
We'll be back.
Okay, and you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Feel free to give us a call. We might have some lines open. I don't know. But the numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. And actually, let's take a minute just to repeat any questions that are out there. Kira, we'll start with you.
All right. There are five films in the flagship Air Bud series, and each film features Air Bud playing a different sport. What are the five sports featured in the Air Bud movies? And so far, we have basketball, baseball, and volleyball. Those are the first, fourth, and fifth movies. Looking for the other two. Also, I've given you the title of some movies, and I want you to tell me the sport that is heavily featured in it. We only have, what do we have left? Whip It, Blood Sport, Summer Rental, and Better Off Dead.
Summer Rental, I don't remember it too well, but wasn't it something, didn't they do water skiing at some point in the
film? No, water skiing.
All right.
In Summer Rental.
Or Speedboat, maybe? Something like that? No?
Not
all right.
Was it, no. Was it water related?
It was water related, but neither of those things.
All right. Okay. And Laura, yes, go ahead.
In the banned book category, Where's Waldo? Something was depicted in one of the pictures, and I'd like to know what it was. It was very tiny. And Shop Girl, Steve Martin's, I guess, one of many novels, in an attempt to ban it, Steve Martin claimed to be pleased. What was the reason? And that's all I have.
Can I answer one?
Sure.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Nipple. It's a nipple.
It is a nipple. It is a topless sunbather. They said the size of a pinhead in one of the pictures that Martin Hanford put in there. Very good. All right. So just looking for Steve Martin.
So let's see here. Of all the major U.S. cities, over 250,000, what two had the fewest number of residents who were actually born there? And one of our callers got Las Vegas, which is correct. And that is 19.7% of the population who was not born there. And who are the only people in a non-religious capacity that can wear white in an audience with the Pope? Most people have to wear black or a very dark color. Who are the only people in a non-religious capacity who can wear white in an audience with the Pope?
The studio audience over here at my place has a guess on that one. Or actually, he has actual knowledge of one person. He says that he knows the Princess of Monaco is allowed to wear white. So his guess is royalty?
Yes, I'm going to give that to the audience over there at your house. That would be any Catholic woman monarch can wear white in an audience with the Pope. So therefore, that would be Princess of Monaco. And that would be the queens of, or princesses or duchesses of Spain, Luxembourg, Belgium, and Monaco, or the princesses of Naples and Venice.
That's right. You said they had to be women, female.
They had
royalty?
To be women, Catholic monarchs.
Female Catholic monarchs. Okay.
A lot going on.
Yeah.
And Dana, you also had a question about the maximum price of a Kmart item that we don't have.
That's right. When Kmart or Kresge at this point, stores first started, what was the maximum price, the absolute maximum price for merchandise?
So. And all we know is it is not $5 because that is what Lori guessed. And
that's right.
Wrong.
And
so
Connie.
Any number besides $5.
It will work, yeah.
Connie, who inspired this question, sent me an email saying it was $1, and that is not correct, Doctor. So,
okay.
Carlton was wondering if one of the cities that I asked about where the fewest number of residents were actually born there was Austin, and that is not correct, either. So. And Laurie, I think it is your turn.
It is. This is another question celebrating the 50th season of Saturday Night Live. There's been about a dozen movies that have been made based on recurring characters in Saturday Night Live. I want to know the five that have grossed the most money and the one that has grossed the least. So of the five of the, I think there's a total of 12 of recurrent characters who have been made into Hollywood movies, in some cases more than one. What's grossed the most? I'm looking for five of those. And which is grossed the least? And Kara, I'll give you two because it looks like you're jumping out of your seat. What do you got?
Well, I think the least is It's Pat.
It is It's Pat. $60,000 total. Yeah. Very good.
It did not do well. And I think that's probably fair. Yeah.
Yeah. Stuart Smalley is one of them.
That was the next least. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, we're starting at the bottom. Now go to the top. Give you a couple guesses each.
The Blues Brothers?
The Blues Brothers is second on the list, making $57 million. Okay.
And I guess I'll go with the low-hanging fruit of Wayne's World.
It is so low-hanging. It is almost triple the amount. There were a second one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wayne's World.
How about the Coneheads?
The Coneheads is number five on the list. So we're looking for, we have the three. We have three of the top. We have Wayne's World, Blues Brothers, and Coneheads. I'm going to throw in one more. We're looking for three more. And you guys got the worst ones. It's Pat and Stuart Saves His Family, the Stuart Smalley one. So got one more guess for the top grossing.
Let's see. It's not Ladies Man. Was it Night at the Roxbury?
Yeah. Night at the Roxbury is fourth on the list. Very good. All right. Let's leave the rest out there.
Good job.
Very good.
Okay. Work. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Rita in San Francisco.
Hi, Rita.
Hi. By any chance, city where the largest number of residents not born in the U.S., Miami?
It is Miami. Very good. Yes.
Good. Oh, nice. Okay. I've got a question. This has to do with language, primary language spoken at home by state. And what I want to do is exclude both English and Spanish. So if you exclude English and Spanish, what is the third most common language in terms of by state more than any other?
My impulse would be to say Mandarin.
No.
Okay. Is it Tagalog?
No.
Okay.
So we're not doing by state. We're just doing overall the United States.
Yeah.
I think so. I can tell you that this is the third most common language spoken at home in 13 different states. That's more than any other. We're excluding English and Spanish.
I would have guessed Mandarin or Cantonese. It is neither. Okay. And somebody mentioned Tagalog, right?
Yeah. I think Tagalog's kind of, or maybe that's just California.
And
how about Hindi?
Alaska.
Hindi?
That's good.
Hindi? No.
My other guess would be Vietnamese.
No.
No. Okay.
So not Vietnamese and not Hindi. Those were the two guesses that they put forth.
No.
Is it neither? Neither. Okay. Well, let's see. It wouldn't be.
We're stumped.
Hold on.
I was surprised. I guess I would think this more traditional.
Can you give us one of the states where it is the most or the third most popular language?
I'm sorry, I don't have that list.
Okay.
Hmm.
Think like the upper Midwest.
Right. What about Swedish?
No, the upper Midwest. Are you thinking of an Arabic language by any chance?
No. No, no, you're way closer with Swedish.
Swedish.
Okay.
It's a lot more common than that.
More common? Okay, German?
Yes.
Okay.
Cool.
In 13 different states, more than any other.
Yeah.
Good question. Now, in six states, Chinese is the third most. Can you name me what those six states are where Chinese is the third most?
Well, I'd say California.
Yes.
Maybe Hawaii.
No.
Or Washington, let's see, Washington, Oregon.
Yeah, Washington, yes. Oregon, no.
What about New York?
Yes.
Okay, so California, Washington, New York. I don't think it's Alaska. I think, I'll still guess it. Alaska?
No.
Okay.
Okay, fill in the rest for us. What are we missing?
Kansas, of all places, and Pennsylvania and Delaware. And I have two others. In what state is Tagalog third?
I think that one is Alaska.
No.
No?
Alaska, possibly.
It's third, those are native languages.
It could be California.
No, California, she said, was Chinese.
How about Hawaii?
No, because that was
we haven't
had Chinese. Let's see.
What about Florida?
Close to us here.
I'm sorry, what?
It's close to us here in San Francisco.
You mean?
Oh, so Nevada?
Nevada. It is Nevada. It's the only state where Tagalog is the third most frequently spoken language.
Okay.
And Hawaii is the only state where Japanese is third.
Yeah. Good.
So anyways, I thought this list was a lot of fun. I just didn't expect to run into things like four states having native languages be their third most.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Really enjoy the show. Bye-bye.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. We'll take a few more calls before the end of the show, so feel free to dial that up, 415-841-4134, or toll-free 866-798-8255. And let's see here. So on the list of the 100 greatest British films of all time, that it was put together by the British Film Institute. And when I say British films, they're films that are financed and generally made in Great Britain. Who is the most common actor? Who's the actor that starred in the most of the 100 greatest British films of all time?
I was going to guess Peter Sellers just because he starred the most times in the most films. So
it seems like it anyway.
Yeah.
But no, not Peter Sellers.
And these are artsy films.
No, these are all kinds of films. These are big budget. Like Lawrence of Arabia is one of the most popular, or one of the great, considered one of the greatest British films of all time, and that's not an art film.
And is it a male?
It is a male.
So I'm trying to think. So these are British films. So these are people that their career was making British film before they made.
Yes, of international film.
Yeah.
Is
this person still alive?
This person is not still alive.
So how about Laurence Olivier?
Not Laurence Olivier.
About Peter Toole.
Not Peter O'Toole.
O'Toole, sorry.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm watching different movies.
Did this person win an Oscar?
This person did win an Oscar.
Okay. Go ahead.
No, you go. Because I don't even know.
Say, is it male? Is it a male person?
Yes, it is a male person. Not somebody who delivers mail, but yes.
David Niven won an Oscar.
Niven's, I don't remember.
David Niven did win an Oscar, but it's not David Niven.
Not David Niven, okay.
All right, leave it out. Of the list of the 100, according to the British Film Institute, the list of the 100 greatest British films of all time, who is the actor that starred in the most of them? In other words, it doesn't mean They just starred in more than any other actor.
So. And is this person both a star and a supporting actor?
Can be both.
How about Peter Ustinov?
Not Peter Ustinov.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Howdy, everybody. It's Tom in Southern California.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. Kira, Whippet is a roller derby.
That is correct. Roller derby.
That's Whippet.
And Summer Rental is sailing, I think.
It is. Yes, it takes place, or they have the big final scene at the regatta.
Hey, and I guess Bloodsport, did you get that already?
No, but you're about to.
I think so. Is that just like MMA fighting?
MMA, absolutely right.
Right.
Perfectly named.
Okay, and then, Laurie, is MacGruber one of the SNL movies?
No, it did not make the top whatever.
No, that was a pretty low, low grossing movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's ninth on the list.
Which is unfair because it is an excellent movie.
It is.
It's so good.
One of my favorites. Yeah, it's up there with the Idiocracy for me. Air Bud, they probably didn't, but I assume if they didn't, they missed their chance, but they should do a poker movie, I guess.
They have done a poker movie. I just can't remember the title.
No. There were no bold bluffs. I see where you're going with that. Yeah, no. This was not directed by C.M. Coolidge or whatever. That
done in velvet paintings of dogs playing poker. Very popular.
Yeah. And then, Dana, for the BFI, I don't know, I'll throw out Tom Courtney just for
obscurity. Tom Courtney has a couple of films on there, but no, he's not the one.
Yeah, okay. And then don't really have a great question this week, but I don't know all the answers, but how about Oscar questions, since the Oscars are coming up in about 6-8 months? who are the tallest and shortest in each of the actors' category?
These are winners or nominees?
Yeah, we can do winners and nominees. I don't really know all the answers. I know for actors and actresses, and I have some guesses for supporting, and so it's probably not a great question
in that sense.
If you know for sure the answers to actor and actress, then maybe we should just do that.
Yeah.
Let's just stick with what. So we want the tallest actor and actress and the shortest actor and actress, correct? Ooh. To win the best.
Okay. And they have to have won. Okay.
Yeah.
They have to win. All right.
Tallest actress.
I
don't know. How tall, may I ask how tall the tallest actress is or was?
Oh, what about the Charlize Theron?
Yeah, she's pretty tall.
She's up there, but not quite the top. The tallest is 5'10 and a half for actress.
Oh, there you go. Joanne got it. Joanne got one of them, I think, which is Linda Hunt, does the shortest.
Linda was supporting actress.
Supporting.
Yeah, but if you had included all of the...
Well, we didn't.
You can, but the list I have is only for best actor. Supporting actress, I think, probably Linda Hunt, but it could be Tatum O'Neill.
I was going to guess, that was going to be my guess, because she was a kid.
Yeah. So I got Linda Hunt as 4'9", and I don't know how tall Tatum O'Neill was when she won, is the problem.
Billy Barty, maybe.
Mickey Rooney never won, right, Dana?
Never won. No.
Okay. Oh, you know who's short? Paul Newman is short.
But not short enough.
Yeah. Paul Newman, I met Paul Newman, and
further back than Paul Newman.
We're just going to be guessing.
There's a lot of...
Alan
Ladd didn't win Best Actor.
No, he did not.
He was short as well.
Tom Cruise.
Well, she said before Paul Newman.
No, not a winner.
We got to go before Paul
Newman. Yeah, not short enough. But close. 5'5" is the shortest. James Cagney is the shortest.
Oh, James Cagney. Okay. All right.
John Wayne is the tallest.
All right.
Really?
6'3" and a half. Yeah.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
And then for actress, it's Nicole Kidman is the tallest.
Huh.
And Mary Pickford is the shortest at 4'10".
Mary Pickford was 4'10"? According
to the information I have,
she was best actress
to it personally.
Yes, she was best actress for Coquette.
Okay.
Okay. Was that it?
That's a great show, as always.
Right, thank you, Tom.
Thanks.
Bye.
And Joanne gets Michael Caine and Alan Bates for the actor in the British movies.
Neither one.
Okay.
And next call. Excuse me. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, Peter from Florida calling. Okay. Question for you. Who is Julia Tuttle?
Julia Tuttle.
Can you spell it?
I kind of started from... I mean, that could be the answer to the question, but I'll let you...
Is that the Goodnight Moon Lady? No, it's not. Why does that name sound familiar?
You're likely to get it, Kira.
I am?
Because of where you used to live.
Michigan or Florida or California?
Yeah.
Michigan?
And this getting me closer, I thought of this because of you mentioned it earlier in the show. Who is Julia Tuttle?
Wait a minute. No. All right. The fact that you said that to Kira makes me think of that I read something about Julia Tuttle at some point. She has something to do. It's Florida, right?
Yes.
She has something to do with Miami, though.
Yes.
Oh, right. She's the founder of, she's the woman who founded Miami, right?
Yes. And the only woman to found a major city in America, Julia Tuttle. It's an interesting story. I mean, she went down where no one would go, the very southern tip of Florida. But there was a frost which killed, she became famous because oranges. Anyway, Julia Tuttle. What do John Amos and Wally Amos have in common?
Have a surname in common. Yes.
Right. Something to do with cookies?
Yeah, well, Famous Amos is
Famous
Wally.
Amos?
John Amos is an actor. Did they both work in like casting or as talent agents?
You forgot about Wally Amos. They died within 3 months of each other. Famous Amos and John Amos.
Well, not much of a connection, but fair enough.
I mean, how often do you hear the name Amos? I heard them like less than 3 months ago. Famous Amos died, and now John Amos died. Two famous Amoses, only one named the cookies after himself, Famous Amos.
Is it a curse, do you think?
Did you know that both the parents in Coming to America died within a couple months of each other? I guess in 1 month, right?
I don't know.
Because James Earl Jones and John Amos.
Wow.
There's a connection.
It is a curse.
Yeah. It's kind of spooky.
All right, Peter. I'm sorry we have to go because we have to wrap up here. But thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okay. Just very quickly, we have some emails and I want to give credit here. So Bill and Peter and... Michael all got the actor who was the most common star on the BFI list of 100 greatest British films, and that's Alec Guinness. Alec Guinness.
Very good.
And yes. So anyway, thanks for that. Okay, time to clean up. Kira, start with you.
The two other sports that Air Bud plays in the movies, in Air Bud Golden Receiver, he plays football, and in Air Bud World Pup, he plays soccer. The only movie sport we didn't get was Better Off Dead. That is skiing.
Okay.
And that Saturday Night Live recurring characters, Superstar is the one that we're missing, starring Molly Shannon. And when Shop Girl was attempted to be banned, Steve Martin was pleased because he said, now people who want to read it will have to buy it in the bookstore. That was his humorous quip. That's all I have.
All right. When the Kresge stores first started, the maximum price, the absolute maximum price for merchandise was 10 cents. 10 cents. And let's see, what am I missing here? Anything?
Did you get the other city with 250,000?
Didn't we get that?
It was Miami.
Miami. So the two cities that have the fewest residents who were actually born there, Miami and Las Vegas. And I think that's it for me. Okay. If thanks to Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher, teacher at Dowd Valley College, I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Thank you very much for listening. Remember, Minds Over Matter is here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Thank you, Joanne Marr, for handling the board and phones. And above all, thank you out there for taking the time to tune in and call. And have a great week, everybody. Please join us next Saturday morning at 10. Bye-bye.